This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, and American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby.
Chicago's about to erupt. The Illinois Red, the Pizza Man, just won the Arlington Million under Pharoah Giroux.
Presented by Abracadabra Farm, Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, American Racehorse Magazine, BetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainsway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Tollgate Hay and Straw, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Lane's End, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
One final try, down to the finish, Noble Bird, Lee, here's the wire, Noble Bird! Fantastic in the Foster! It's American Pharoah with that majestic run, pouring it on through the stretch. Keen Ice runs into second. American Pharoah, the party continues as he rolls home in the Haskell.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in our Lexington, Kentucky studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass, broadcasting throughout North America on Sirius 220 XM, Channel 206, on affiliates across the country, and as always, streaming worldwide on your computer, your smartphone, or your tablet through our website at horseracingradio.net. This is a somewhat of a special show, and a special show for me anyways, because I get to rekindle the best bromance in racing, as many of you have called it throughout the years, reunited once and for all with the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, who is officially back full-time right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And JT, I can tell you, my friend, rejoicing all across HRN Nation with that joyous news.
Yes, I'm sure Juju Bajan is dancing in the streets of Massachusetts right now.
She may not be the only one. This has been a very popular return, I can tell you that. People have asked me for months, when is Jude coming back? When is Jude going to be back on the show? And look, I think the last time we were together full-time in this capacity was 2013, at the end of that year?
Yeah, it was about 2 years ago, so I know Bernie Sams is excited. I'm sure he's up early listening to us.
Even my mom's going to start listening again.
Yeah, she'll be back in the fold now that Tiger's through for the year. She's got nothing else to do.
She hasn't listened to the show since 2013, so Mom, welcome back.
Yeah, her handicapping's about as good as yours, Tiger Woods and me. Wow.
Yeah, it's brutal. Absolutely brutal. Yeah. Well, boy, what an exciting time to have you return to the mix here. And look, I say return. You've been with me throughout the year already. You and I have been together from time to time over the past couple of years since you moved up to New Jersey. But now you're back here in the Bluegrass. We'll get to do a lot of things together, including this show, each and every Saturday, with the exception of next week, by the way, when I will travel to California. Jeff Bloom will join me in California at Santa Anita for all the big racing action coming up on their Breeders' Cup preview day. But other than that, my friend, we're ready to roll.
Yeah, quite a schedule we've got coming up headed towards the Breeders' Cup. And, of course, it's very exciting to be back in Lexington at this time. Fall Stars weekend coming up is going to be off the hook. All the horses coming in to make their final preparations for the Breeders' Cup. So really looking forward to that. And hopefully everybody can get out to Keeneland and see some of these horses run and make their final decisions as we get closer to the Breeders' Cup.
Well, since you brought up Breeders' Cup, and I know you love this, 41 days, 7 hours, and now only 26 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Keeneland, which means that we are just 13 days, 2 hours, 55 minutes, and wait for it, 17 seconds away from the beginning of the Keeneland Fall Meet.
Well, you know, I was at Columbia Steakhouse last night to honor my late father. It was his birthday yesterday, and we have a family tradition that Felds all over the country go out to dinner on my dad's birthday. As you well know, you've been to many of those events. But
yeah, sorry we couldn't make it last night. I really enjoy that dinner.
Yeah, thank you. We had a good time. But we were at Columbia Steakhouse, and they had a Breeders' Cup countdown clock. And I said, how come the Baron doesn't have one of these? He's like the king of the countdown. And there was a Breeders' Cup countdown clock right there in the middle of Columbia Steakhouse downtown Lexington. And you need one of those. You need to get a hold of Dora Delgado and tell her you need a Breeders' Cup countdown clock.
I think if anybody should have one, it should be me, right?
I would absolutely. You would have been the first on my list as if I was passing those out. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. We had an opportunity last night to have dinner with Claire Novak and with Ann Eberhardt Keough of the Blood Horse, and really enjoyed that dinner downtown. And as we were out on the patio having dinner, there were fireworks in downtown Lexington last night for some reason. I don't know what was going on, but apparently we were blocked by the building. We couldn't see them, but apparently they were pretty spectacular from everything that we heard. And Ann made the comment that it had to be because that of your return to the airwaves here this morning.
Ann is a huge fan of the Pontiff, and she made a nice tweet yesterday about me coming back, and thank you very much to her for that. But it was a Mexican festival downtown that was creating the stir and the fireworks and some great music and a lot of fun down there. They had the streets blocked off, so it was a little tough to negotiate downtown Lexington for a while. But it was a good event and a lot of people there, nice turnout. So that's what the fireworks were for. But the lady that runs Columbia Steakhouse, she thought it was the people that live up above creating some kind of racket in their apartment, and she was happy to find out it was actually fireworks.
That would be one hell of a racket, by the
way. Well, you know, sometimes when people live above restaurants, I know this from my New Jersey experience, and there's a live band or something going on, sometimes the residents get a little testy, you might say. You know, it's tough if you're trying to sleep, but my suggestion is don't rent an apartment above a restaurant if you want to get a lot of Z's.
All right, no Breeders' Cup action in terms of Breeders' Cup Challenge action on the docket for this weekend. Next weekend, a huge weekend, though. I mentioned our trip to Santa Anita to bring you coverage of 5 challenge races from Santa Anita. We'll get a chance to see Champion Beholder go to the post in the Zenyatta out there as well next Saturday. Two Breeders' Cup Challenge races at Belmont next Saturday as well. You're going to hear all of those right here with us on the network. To date, 53 horses have punched their ticket to the Breeders' Cup World Championships through the Winning Your In series, including Triple Crown winner American Pharaoh and the brilliant Champion Mare Beholder. As if that classic needed any extra luster to it. Well, guess what? We got it this week when it was announced that Beholder likely to go in the Breeders' Cup Classic and face American Pharaoh, if indeed, all things being equal, they both make it there as they're expected.
Very, very exciting news, and she's just a fantastic filly, and looking forward to that race. I mean, that's going to be really a classic, might say. Just fantastic group of horses, and Breeders' Cup, the fields are going to be pretty strong. Looks like it's going to be some great racing.
Well, since you brought that up, let's throw out the poll question for this morning before we tell you what's coming up here over the next 2 hours. And here's the poll question. You can tweet us at HRRN and let us know your thoughts. You can hit us up on Facebook, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook as well. And we're going to keep it pretty simple. Which Breeders' Cup division are you most excited about watching? Which division, which race in particular, are you most excited about watching? I'm sure the Classic is going to garner a lot of votes because of Beholder and American Pharaoh. But if there's another race, another division that you're excited about, we want to hear from you. You can tweet us at HRRN Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and we'll try to get to those responses as we move throughout the program this morning. After our first commercial break, going to be joined by Sal Sinatra, the general manager of the Maryland Jockey Club. He will tell us about the two greatest stakes at Laurel today, and they are pretty well stacked in those races as well. So we'll talk to Sal coming up in just about 3 or 4 minutes. Then Doug Deeren from Derby Box will stop by toward the end of the first hour. Of course, they have several different packages that they put together, not just for the Derby next year, but for this year's Breeders' Cup. So if you're still looking for a way to attend the Breeders' Cup, Doug's going to be here to tell you how you can do it through derbybox.com. Brad Green, well, he's the man behind Washington Hay Company in Georgetown, Kentucky. He'll tell you about how you can take advantage of their great products over the course of the next several months. Eric Zimney from Charlestown will be here to tell you about the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks. That coverage coming up tonight on the Horse Racing Radio Network, 9 to 11 Eastern Time, with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, and Acacia Courtney. They'll take you through the Charlestown Oaks and some of the big races coming up there on this Race for the Ribbon evening at Charlestown. And then Lafitte Pinkai III will stop by at the end of the program as we go down the road to the Breeders' Cup. He is going to be on site at Parks today, broadcasting for Comcast Sportsnet, and we'll hear from Lafitte at the end of the show to talk about the Pennsylvania Derby and the Cotillion. So, very busy program. We'll start it next with Sal Sinatra right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, celebrating 10 years of award-winning coverage.
The next big thing in horse racing radio is coming to HRRN, September 23rd. Express Bet Radio on HRRN. Get ready.
Are you a believer?
But it will be Justin Phillips to win the Vanderbilt by two.
32 lifetime starts, 23 in greatest stakes.
And Justin Phillips will do it. He was a monster in the mud.
12 times first or second in greatest stakes company.
And Justin Phillips will prove best in the Cap Fleet Sprint.
Justin Phillips retired sound, having recorded 9 buyer speed figures of 100 or better, and 3 times racking up rag sheet numbers of 2 1/4. Justin Phillips' first foals have arrived and are just like their daddy. Impressive, strong, and loaded with quality. Seeing is believing with Justin Phillips. Hashtag Justin Believers. Standing at Castleton Lions alongside multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Gio Ponti's first crop of yearlings averaged nearly $100,000 in 2014, and his first crop of racing age hit the track this year. Justin Phillips and Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 19th, as we host the 7th annual Race for the Ribbon. The 12 race card includes 6 stakes worth $700,000 and gets underway at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and is highlighted by the Grade 3 $350,000 Charlestown Oaks. For more information about the Race for the Ribbon coming up at Charlestown on Saturday, September 19th, check out our website at HollywoodCasinoCharlestown.com.
Where is the thoroughbred industry growing and thriving? In the Midwest and Southwest, and only American Racehorse magazine covers Middle America from top to bottom. Each issue contains news from Oklahoma, Indiana, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, and more, with features you won't find in any other publication. If you're a stallion owner or equine services provider looking for an affordable way to reach more than 6,000 readers, American Racehorse can help. Get a free sample issue at AmericanRacehorse.com. And time now to showcase the Cal Density Horse of the Week, which you can find at the Keeneland September Yearling Sale. This week's horse is hip number 3448. Write it down, 3448. A colt by Spring at Last, and the first foal out of a multiple stakes winner of $237,000. That's Remit, who is a full sister to multiple greatest stakes winner Tapiture and stakes winner Retap. Consigned by Gainsway for Winchell Thoroughbred's Corinthia Farm, where he was allowed to run free, not stalled, a natural athlete to behold, and fed Cal Density Black Label daily. Veterinarian Dr. Perry Warnell at Harrison Vet Clinic in Cynthiana, Kentucky, is quoted as saying, "I have watched these horses grow up and seen the impressive growth into big, stout horses with strong bones. See for yourself the special qualities Cal Density fed horses offer, like clean radiographs, conformity, bone density, hoofs, and attitude. Visit us at barn number 2 and get the buyer's edge for this special horse. Write it down, hip number 3448, and previous week's hip numbers 1023, 1919, and 2582 at the Keeneland September Yearling Sale. Write them down.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And force the pass in Joel Rosario. Come on through. And they take the lead from Bolo on the far turn. Granny's Kitten is third to the outside. Extreme Outside Startup Nation is next. It's a wide run for Divisi Darrow. He's got Force the Pass to catch as they turn for home. Force the Pass coming into the final furlong in front. Kangal is two lengths behind in second. And then it's Granny's Kitten. And then comes Startup Nation. Not today for Divisi Darrow. It is Force the Pass. Oh, he is running away from the field. Force the Pass in the Belmont Derby. He won it by five over Kandal. And then it was Startup Nation and Closing Bell.
Larry Coleman's bringing them home in the Grade 1 Belmont Derby on July 4th at Belmont Park. And Force the Pass dominating that afternoon. He's back in action later today in the Grade 2 Commonwealth Derby at Laurel. And he is part of a rock-solid racing program on this Saturday afternoon. That card, including the Grade 2 Commonwealth Derby and the Grade 2 Commonwealth Cup. And, boy, what an afternoon of racing up at Laurel Park. And we're joined now by Sal Sinatra, the general manager of the Maryland Jockey Club here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, to tell us about what's happening at Laurel Park this afternoon. And, Sal, really appreciate you taking a few minutes, my friend.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, happy to have you back on board. And you know, we heard that call of Larry bringing them home in the Belmont Derby, but Force the Pass is just part of what is a pretty solid program up there this afternoon.
Yeah, thank you very much. We were happy with the outcome of the two races. I'm fairly short notice trying to schedule and work with the Virginia Horsemen and such, but we're happy that these fields look like they'll help them preserve their grade for another year.
Yeah, it certainly appears to be that way. Tell me about the reasoning behind bringing these races to Laurel this year.
Well, it goes back to the winter, actually, when we got involved between the Virginia Horsemen and Colonial. The Horsemen were trying to lease Colonial to get the meet to go. And when Tim Riffle and I met with the Horsemen, you know, first on the plate, as I told them, is to try and preserve these grades on their stakes they had left, because they hadn't run them last year, and if they didn't run them this year, they would lose them. And I don't know if people are really aware of how difficult it is to get them graded to begin with, let alone a grade two. And they kind of they glanced that off, and I guess, as you know, talks broke down between the two parties. The Horsemen came to us and said, "Will we consider running those graded races here at Laurel to help them out?" And you know, of course we would. You know, we certainly our Horsemen support Virginia and vice versa, so it was good synergy. And now we're happy to have them for them, and I'm actually glad the fields turned out as well as they did.
Yeah, it's pretty nice, both of those races. The Commonwealth Cup has Mr. Speaker, who's a super talented horse, and up with the Birds, who is another horse that you know, can run with anybody. I mean, those two horses right there should preserve your grade two ranking. And then the Commonwealth Derby arguably forced to pass the best three-year-old turf horse in the country, and horses like Go Round and Fundamental and Vision Perfect, you know, pretty nice group for the Commonwealth Derby.
Yeah, and I'm also pleased. I mean, the weather's going to be fantastic. The turf was pristine yesterday. It'll be pristine today, so there'll be no excuses. I think we'll see some nice races today.
So how about the reaction from the horsemen there in Maryland when you decided to bring these races there? I can imagine that they had to be thrilled with the decision as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, anytime you can have another great race in your program, it just gives you a little more relativity. And again, like I said, in the past, we've always worked very well with the Colonial Meet. So there's like a little relationship there between Virginia and Maryland. So anything to help. And then the Virginia Equine Alliance provided the purses. We had to get a lot of people's approvals. You know, we had first petition the Great Stakes Committee to move the races for a year to preserve them, which we, you know, everybody was very helpful in that respect. And actually, the Virginia Equine Alliance is paying the purses on these races, so they had the Virginia Racing Commission to approve, you know, transferring money from Virginia to Maryland, which they did. So there was a lot of legwork done there, and I think ultimately everybody is very, very happy the races are here today. And, you know, should Colonial or Virginia run next year, you know, these races will return back home. But they're here for this year, and we're happy to have them.
it's difficult for you guys to hustle horses for races that you don't know are going to be considered on your program. So I think a big feather in your racing department's cap to get these horses to run on what's relatively short notice in the
Correct. In
the stakes schedule
and
game.
That's the biggest thing, you know, especially these graded stakes horses. These guys plot out their path to the Breeders' Cup, you know, months and months in advance. So, you know, we're tickled to death that they chose us. And I think the turf course, the way it's situated here, had a lot to do with it.
Sal, what can fans expect when they come to Laurel today or they're betting the races remotely from other parts of the country? What different things can they expect? Any special wagers, promotions, anything like that?
Well, our fans, I'm sure you're aware, we've been just modifying the building piece by piece. So our giant simulcast room is 95% complete. So the fan experience on grounds will be great. Today we just have our normal Saturday festivities going on with the dining room and such. We're just going to roll with it and see. There's no special wager. We didn't really change any of the wager types. We kind of just fell the races into the spots. But the card itself is very strong. And like I said, fast and firm, so field size as well. So we're looking forward to a really grand day for Virginia people.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the remodel of Laurel Park, because when we were at Preakness earlier this year, that was part of the chatter around Pimlico. Yeah. Was that, boy, wait till you see Laurel. Wait till you see what we're doing at Laurel. And so many people that were on the outside looking in said, wait till you see what they're doing at Laurel. So I think you've caught a lot of people's attention with that remodel.
Yeah, I think what had happened was focus from the Toronto group was on Gulfstream, the rebuild there, and obviously Santa Anita. And now all eyes, because both of those tracks are pretty well healed and on their way, so all focus is on Maryland. And when Tim Riffo and I both got here in December, I guess Maryland racing was kind of neglected or, you know, off to the side. So we started doing little things, whether it was just replacing tube TVs with flat screens and a coat of paint. And it's just amazing how much the horse and the fans appreciated it, which makes us feel better. I mean, we walk through the stands and, you know, people are shaking their hands. They're happy. They're coming back. All numbers have been, you know, up for the year, day to day, week to week. So there's a real good vibe right now in Maryland, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Visiting with Sal Sinatra, the general manager of the Maryland Jockey Club, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Sal, some more big news coming out yesterday. Laurel going to host a Win in Your Inn for the Claiming Crown on November 1st. Of course, the Claiming Crown is going to be held at Gulfstream on their opening day in the beginning of December, but Laurel will have that Win in Your Inn series on November 1st. I thought that was a really interesting idea as well.
Yeah, we're trying to work together between our properties, which we've done in the past. PJ and I have always worked well together. I had done a similar thing for Canterbury, and in fact, Philadelphia Park, which is now Parks, got to be the first track to host it outside of Canterbury, and my horsemen there enjoyed it. So the Mid-Atlantic, especially this time of year, is just flooded with claiming trainers and starter-type horses that are really hard knockers, and quite a few of them are smaller trainers. So, you know, the thought of them just getting up and shipping the Gulfstream, even if they had a really nice horse, is a big gamble tool. So if we can step in and do a preview day for the people in the Northeast and help PJ down at Gulfstream, you know, maybe bring a couple more new faces down here and make that card more interesting, you know, it's a win-win all the way around.
Yeah, I was really excited to hear about that yesterday, because we cover the Claiming Crown every year, and it's turned into such a fantastic event. And everybody knows Mr. Ramsey points for that and usually has a horse in every race, but this will give somebody else a chance at winning one.
Exactly, and it's good. And the way I look at it is, if horses from Maryland or Pennsylvania or New Jersey win here and end up at Gulfstream, there'll be more eyes from the Northeast watching that card come December.
That's a good point. Very innovative idea, and it certainly makes sense and should be a great tie-in to those Claiming Crown races coming up in the beginning of December. Wonder if Ken Ramsey will have a few horses entered in the Win in Your Inn races. What do you think?
He was the first person I thought of. He's probably going over his charts right now. Guy never misses a trick when it comes to Claiming Crown. That's
absolutely
for sure.
Not one of the best. Sal, really appreciate the time, my friend. Things are rolling up in Maryland, and it's all because of you and Tim Riffo. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Of course, folks can embrace their passion at embracetherace.com. Sale.com. Appreciate it, Sale. Thanks for all the time and all the support. We'll talk to you soon.
Guys.
All right, Sale Sinatra here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And, yeah, boy, what a program today. Those two grade two events, as you heard, coming over from Colonial in order to keep their grade. They had to run them again this year. And, Jude, you brought up a great point that, look, it's not easy to get horses there when you don't know that these races are going to be on your schedule. And what they do is they end up with maybe the top three-year-old turf horse in the country and force the pass, and then they have that really rock-solid field in the Commonwealth as well.
Yeah, you know, as far as the Commonwealth Derby is concerned, it's a straight three-year-old race. There are no Breeders' Cup races for straight three-year-olds, so it was probably a little easier to fill than the Commonwealth Cup. But, you know, it's a great situation to have those races back on the docket. They're very important races and have been in the past. And Laurel, beautiful, beautiful turf course at Laurel, and no better place really to run them than there.
Yeah, they are remodeling that racetrack. They put a lot of money into it, a lot of time, a lot of effort, and some people speculating that maybe that would be the new home of the Preakness every year because of all the work that they put into it. And maybe that's why they're doing so much renovation. I didn't want to put Sale on the spot and ask him that question, but that's kind of been rumored in some of that speculation. Maybe it's true. I don't know.
You never know.
You never know. All right, we're going to step away for our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you each and every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. I tell you, every week you go in, you see all the great folks. We were just out there this week, the Godfather Tony Attiano, all the great people. They are horse people. They want to be the dealership of the equine industry in Central Kentucky. So if you're in the market for a new vehicle, a pre-owned vehicle, trust me, you can't do better than a brand new Lexus, and you can't do better than all the people at the Lexus Store of Lexington, because the people really do make the difference. We're back with more here on the Equine Forum right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
This man, during his lifetime of nearly 90 years, was synonymous with the thoroughbred racing as best as anybody could portray it. He was born in Fredericksburg, Texas, July 30th, 1880. That was the year the Great Hindu was a two-year-old, and a horse named Fonso won the Kentucky Derby over four rivals to earn $3,800. Our subject ran away from home at the age of 13 to become a jockey. He started as an exercise boy but wore silks in a race at the age of 14. That was long before he became a licensed jockey, although he had ridden at the age of 10 at Wild County Fairs in Texas. He never felt he was a good rider, but he had 1,117 recorded mounts and scored with 123 winners, a few of those against the likes of Immortals, Todd Sloan, and Snapper Garrison. He got too heavy to ride by the time he was 19, and therefore he opted for training to get his license at the age of 20 in 1900. He saddled his first winner in 1902, a horse named Guatama, at New Orleans on March 21st. Between 1902 and 1969, he saddled 1,993 winners, including the winners of more than 100 major stakes. His last winner was a four-year-old filly named Heartland, who won Aqueduct's feature by about 8 hours before he died on April 3rd, 1969. His first stakes winner was Beauclair, who took the Washington Cup at Benning's Racecourse near Washington, D.C. in 1907. He went on to train three Kentucky Derby winners and one Triple Crown winner. The latter was the great Clubfoot Comet Assault in 1946 in the brown and cream silks of the King Ranch. He saddled Bull Venture to win the 1936 Derby at 20-1, and another winner for the King Ranch Middle Ground in 1950. He had a rather unorthodox method of training horses, to say the least. Most trainers would not dare use an apprentice rider in a classic race. This man did it twice, in the Derby, and he won both of them. In 1936, when Ira Hanford on Bull Venture daringly fought through very tight quarters to score by a head over Brevity, and in 1950, when then 16-year-old Bill Bullen kept his mount on the rail to save ground the whole trip. He often said the best horse he had ever trained was Grey Lag, and he went on to say that Grey Lag may have been the singular best he had ever seen. He had bought him as a two-year-old from the Wizard of the Turf, John E. Madden, and raced him until three when Harry Sinclair bought him for $60,000, an unheard-of price at the time. Grey Lag raced for Sinclair and then ran Coca Stable from then on. He was reluctant to use superlatives, but he did feel his best horses besides Greylag were Saracen and Assault. His greatest loss was not Greylag, it was Stymie, who earned nearly $1 million after being claimed for $1,500. He liked to bet on horses and at one time said, quote, "People who like horses like to bet on them. People who don't bet on them don't belong at the racetrack," end of quote. He was elected to the Racing Hall of Fame in 1959 and was honored by the Thoroughbred Club of America in 1961. Even after a heart attack in 1961, he went on to be leading money-winning trainer in New York. At the age of 87 in 1968, he won 49 races, and that year he trained Gallen Bloom, who was juvenile title holder of that year. He was stoop-shouldered, walked with a bit of a shuffle, with his hand always thrust forward as if something of extraordinary interest was to occur just in front of him. This truly great trainer went shuffling off, so to speak, to the great paddock in the sky, April 3rd, 1969, as an octogenarian at the age of 88. He was the man from Texas, Max Hirsch.
And the late Pete Kulis with your Lexus Legends of the Turf for this morning. We're back with more on the Equine Forum right after this short break.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
When the Lexus LS was introduced, it changed the industry. Decades of world's first and countless awards later, it's considered by many to be the finest vehicle in the world. So how do you improve upon the impossible standard you've set? Piece by methodical piece, scrutinize every aspect of the driving experience in search of new ways to surprise and inspire those inside. I'm Mike Penna, and I will tell you firsthand that you can say the same things about the people at the Lexus store of Lexington. The people truly do make the difference. From the godfather Tony Attiano to their outstanding sales team, I promise that when you walk through their doors on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, you'll feel the same way. And if you're in the horse business, there's no reason to go anywhere else. The people at the Lexus store are horse people. They're actively involved with supporting the industry, and they want to be the dealership of the equine industry. So stop in and see them and find out for yourself what it means to be a part of the pursuit of perfection at the Lexus store of Lexington.
Here comes Blame! Blame has won it ahead!
A photo finish that Blame got!
6 graded stakes wins, 3 grade 1 victories, 9 consecutive 100-plus buyers. And now, Blame has sired graded stakes quality from his first crop. His first runners are stars at tracks across the country.
It's far from over with a terrific performance.
Eclipse champion Blaine at Claiborne Farm.
Don't miss one of the biggest days of the year, Saturday, September 26th, right here at Santa Anita Park. It's opening day of our 2015 autumn meet, and we'll have 5 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup prep stakes that will likely include 2-time Eclipse champion mare Beholder going after her 3rd consecutive win in the Grade 1 Zenyatta at 1 1/16. First post time for a blockbuster 11-race card on opening day is at 12:30, so make plans to join us early. Visit SantaAnita.com for details. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Power. And he's pulling away, and Frosted has won the Wood Memorial.
Passion.
Holding off Lee as they come down to the finish. Constitution in the Dawn.
Performance.
Ring Weekend and Drayton Van Dyke up to win the Kilroe.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet has once again been sensational in 2015. The champion sire is North America's leading sire this year, represented by 4 2015 Grade 1 winners. Wood Memorial winner Frosted, Ring Weekend, who scored in the Frank E. Kilroe Mile, Don Handicap winner Constitution, and Untappable winner of the Apple Blossom at Oaklawn. Overall, Tappet has sired 17 lifetime Grade 1 winners, 40 graded stakes winners, 11 millionaires, and 6 champions. Tappet is also ranked number 1 in the sales ring in both North America and Europe, with 2015 yearlings averaging more than 952,000. Tappet, standing at Gainsway.
Power.
passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Equine Forum, continuing to rekindle the best bromance in racing. I think Ann Eberhardt actually tweeted that out, didn't she? Again. I think it's like hashtag bromance.
She may have moved to the front of the groupie line.
Surpassing Juju Bajan?
I don't know.
Is that possible?
It's possible. You never know. She's been very supportive.
People love Big Poppy.
Yeah, Big Poppy needs a hug.
All right, fun visit with Sal Sinatra in the previous segment. Doug Dearen coming up at just about 8:48 Eastern time. He is from Derby Box. He'll tell you how you can still attend the Breeders' Cup World Championships here at Keeneland at the end of October. And, of course, he'll tell you how you can attend the Kentucky Derby next year at Churchill Downs. We'll talk to him 8:48. Brad Green from Washington Hay Company going to be here at 9 o'clock Eastern. Eric Zimney from Charlestown will tell us about the Charlestown Oaks. That coverage coming up tonight right around 9 o'clock Eastern, 9 to 11 Eastern time. You can tune in to that Race for the Ribbon program. Anthony Stabile and Acacia Courtney will have that coverage for you later this evening. And Lafitte Pinkeye III at the end of the show. So a lot of things still to get to. Jude, want to remind our listeners that next Wednesday, a landmark day here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, we will launch Express Bet Radio on HRRN. It will be carried from 3 to 6 Eastern on Sirius 220, XM 206, every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Now, here's the cool thing. We're going to take you around the country with race coverage from different tracks. So whatever races fall between 3 and 6 Eastern time on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you are now going to have the opportunity to listen to those races on radio, Sirius 220, XM 206, is ExpressBet Radio on HRN. And I want to thank ExpressBet for their support of that show. Anthony Stabile will host the coverage, so it should be a lot of fun, and really looking forward to launching those shows next Wednesday.
Yeah, that's kind of a throwback to the shows we used to do before Sirius gave us the boot.
Yeah, the HRN live shows. Yeah. Well, you remember that. They did. I had so many people come up to us, and they said, why aren't you on Sirius with those daily race programs anymore? Because when Sirius realigned their channels and eliminated some channels, they didn't have room for those 3 to 6 shows during the week. So now they do have the room. So we're able to bring this show back to you. And again, our thanks to Sirius for offering us that opportunity to bring this show to you. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and happy to have those back out there next Wednesday.
Truckers and horse players from around the nation clamoring for HRN coverage.
Yeah, we've been inundated, by the way, with messages, emails, text messages, even on our social media pages, with people just so excited that this coverage is coming back.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing when you're driving around and you want to listen to some racing, and of course, Anthony's a kick, so it'll be fun, it'll be informative, it'll be entertaining, and looking forward to that. Who knows? I might even show up on one of those shows once in a while.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
I think people would like that.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they? Big Grandpa.
Pope Jude. Don't forget, you can go to PopeJude.com and download selections for all the races coming up this weekend. What cards did you do on your sheet?
We got a big sheet today. We've got Kentucky Downs going, of course, and we've got the two stakes at Laurel. We've got all the races at Parks. Not all the races, but the stakes card there. Belmont Park, Churchill Downs, the Charlestown Oaks. So you can start out in the afternoon and go all the way into the night. Lots of good racing. Pretty happy with the sheet. We'll see how it does, but
You're heading to Kentucky Downs, right?
Heading to Kentucky Downs. Going to go down there. Got a little inside information on the sheets at Kentucky Downs, and it's going to be a fun afternoon. I love Kentucky Downs and really excited to get a trip down there this year.
We threw out a poll question at the beginning of the show. You can tweet us at HRRN. Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. The poll question is pretty simple. Which Breeders' Cup division are you most excited about watching? Is it the Classic with American Pharoah and Beholder and that potential showdown? Or is it a different division, a different race? And somebody chimed in and said that the Breeders' Cup Mile is going to be the race that they're most excited about. So I happen to go back and pull up the Win and You're In contenders that have already punched their ticket to the mile. And it was interesting, June. I hadn't realized this. There have been 6 Win and You're In races for the mile division. Only one contested here in the United States. So 5 Europeans already qualified. The first was back on January 10th. It was actually the first challenge race in the series here in 2015. That was in South Africa. And the South African bred Futura got the victory in that one. So Futura is qualified. Whether or not Futura comes remains to be seen. The second one was in Australia. That was the Doncaster Mile. And Kermadec, I hope I'm saying the name right, a New Zealand bred, got the victory there. The Shoemaker Mile in California was the next one. Talco, a French bred, winning that race. The Sussex Stakes in the UK was won by Solo, a British bred. And then you had the race at Deauville, which was back in August 16th, and Estorique, maybe, if I'm going with the right pronunciation there, an Irish bred winning that one. And then, of course, last weekend we saw Mone de Liste win the Rico Woodbine Mile in Canada. So that's it. Only one challenge race left in that division. That's going to be here at Keeneland on Fall Stars weekend, the Shadwell Turf Mile, which is a race you'll hear right here with us on the network.
Must have been Alistair Donald that said that was the race. Huh?
hard to believe that only one challenge race so far contested in the United States.
Yeah, well, it's turf racing, and you know, turf racing's big all over the world. So we'll see. But that's certainly an interesting field. I mean, that sounds like an excellent betting race with horses coming from all over the place.
Yeah, and you know, and you're probably going to have, I would imagine, you'd have Lee pointed for that race as well, because he ran so well last weekend at Woodbine, even though he got beaten that race. Obviously ran a big race. He came up just a little bit short on a turf that probably wasn't to his liking. He was coming off a bit of a layoff, so he ends up checking in third, but I thought a good third from Obviously, and his early speed always makes him dangerous in those 1 mile events.
Yeah, his not at Keeneland, maybe. You know, Keeneland's sort of a closer's turf course, so I would be a little leery of Obviously there, but he is a very talented horse, and we've seen horses go wire to wire when they're left alone to their own devices. But
happened a lot at Saratoga this year.
Yeah,
happened a lot.
Some of the jocks up there were partying too much or something. They were falling asleep.
You sound like Andy Serling now.
Well,
he was all over the jockeys throughout the meet.
That's the ultimate insult.
I'm telling you, you're beating that same drum, though. But it did happen a lot. You had a lot of horses get out there on easy leads and never look back.
We'd have horses walking on the lead. Nobody would chase them. Then we'd get horses where two of them would go out with top jockeys going head and head, burning one another up like bug boys. I mean, it was the most ridiculous bunch of riding I had ever seen at Saratoga. I mean, it was really, really pitiful.
And some of it was very bizarre.
Very bizarre. Didn't make sense at all.
Yeah.
At all. So, anyway, but that's racing, you know. You never know what's going to happen. That's why they run them.
Just a couple of minutes away from our next break, Doug Deering going to join us on the other side of that from DerbyBox.com. Do have a word here to get in for Lane's End. And then Jude, some very sad news breaking this morning pertaining to Sheikh Mohammed, the, of course, ruler of Dubai and the owner of Darley. We'll tell you about that here in just a moment. But I do want to make sure I get this word in for Lane's End. And keep in mind, as a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires, like The Factor, for example, the top freshman sire by a yearling average that is, how about this, 15 times his stud fee. Or Union Rags, a grade one winning 2-year-old and classic winning 3-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and 2-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and graded stakes winners in 2014. When it comes down to it, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities at Lane's End, simply visit lanesend.com. All right, Doug Deeren, just about 4 or 5 minutes away. JT, I mentioned that very sad news coming out this morning and pertaining to Sheikh Mohammed and his son.
Yeah, Sheikh Rashid passed away last night of a heart attack. He was the highly educated, philanthropic man behind Zabil Stable. And very, very sad news. 3 days of mourning now in Dubai. And want to pass along our condolences to Sheikh Mohammed. That's about the worst thing that can happen to any father is have one of their children die. So, Sheikh Rashid was a really interesting guy, a very cool guy, and taken away way too soon.
Yeah, our thoughts, our prayers, our condolences going out to Sheikh Mohammed and that entire family, and the entire family of Darley as well. We're back to visit with Doug Deeren from Derby Box next here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair Strips. FlairStrips.com.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
There are millions of reasons to get involved in the fastest growing promotion in horse racing and the third richest thoroughbred event in the United States, the Daily Racing Form NTRA National Handicapping Championship. Whether it's online or on track, start playing today for $2.5 million in prize money and an Eclipse Award as Horse Player of the Year. Join the DRF NHC Tour today and start planning your trip to NHC in Las Vegas. Go to nhctour.com for details.
Earn a lifetime breeding in Danza, a dominant Grade 1 winner and a leading three-year-old of his generation. Half-brother to Grade 1 winner Majestic Harbor, Danza defeated top three-year-olds such as Bayern, Strong Mandate, and Commissioner.
Danza, in a sparkling performance, is making short work of the Arkansas Derby field. Danza is the boss as he wins by 5.
To learn how easy it is to earn your lifetime breeding, contact Spendthrift Farm today.
The Breeders' Cup runs here.
What a memorable Breeders' Cup Classic. It's a race for the ages. Bayern, Toast of New York, California Chrome. Bayern, Toast of New York. Bayern has won it.
The Breeders' Cup, October 30th and 31st. Exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Cal Density. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information and to listen live.
Hi, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, inviting you to join me for Express Bet Radio on HRRN. Beginning Wednesday, September 23rd, tune in for live racing action from around the country every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. It's the place to be on your drive home, through the final furlong of your workday, and for all fans of the sport of kings. It's Express Bet Radio on HRRN, starting Wednesday, September 23rd, on Sirius 220, XM 206, and streaming worldwide at Horse Racing Radio.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
3/8 to go, and White Clover's still the catch. Peace and War is ranging up on the outside now, set the challenge. Peace and War is being set down, but still going easily. White Clover's trying to battle back toward the inside. Cayman Croc next in line, followed by Stroke Play as they head for home. Peace and War. leads it by about a half a length over White Clover. Cayman Croc off the rail, trying to kick it in now. Angles between horses. Peace and War. White Clover's game on the inside and coming back. White Clover regains the lead. Peace and War back in second. It's a very gutty performance by White Clover. She wins the Out Hymns by a length and three quarters. Peace and War second. Cayman Croc third with Stroke Play fourth.
White Clover, one of the major players in tonight's Charlestown Oaks at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. We're going to have all that coverage for you right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can listen exclusively on our website, horseracingradio.net. You can listen on your smartphone, your tablet, or your computer, all with our live streaming 9 to 11 Eastern time tonight. Big A, Anthony Stabile, Acacia Courtney will have that coverage for you and should be a lot of fun and a really good race. Sarah Siss also part of that field and figures to be a good one at Charlestown later this evening. Mike Pena, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff. We are with you in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, rolling on a very busy morning and joined now by Doug Dearen with DerbyBox.com. Doug, welcome to the program, my friend.
It's good to be here. Good to be back.
Yeah, happy to have you back on board. And, you know, I know that you're busy putting together those Breeders' Cup packages and, of course, the Derby packages for next year at DerbyBox.com. But just so you know, we are just 41 days, 6 hours, and now only 40 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup, so you better get busy.
I love your countdown. That's the highlight of the show.
Doesn't say much for us, does it?
Yeah. Right. Best part of the show is when I do the countdown. That's great. Doug, so how's it going? What's the deal with the Breeders' Cup packages?
Oh, it's been great. It's, you know, this is all new to us. It's kind of different. It's obviously, as to everybody that's involved in the industry, the Breeders' Cup has never been at Keeneland Racetrack. It's never been at a venue this small, at a city this small, airport this small. So it's a big learning curve. We've had a lot of education to go through. I think maybe a lot of your listeners know from the area that Keeneland is offering some preview tours to show the public about the changes in the new structures and the new seating that they're bringing in and the types of seating. And I actually took the tour myself last week, and it's beautiful to see that the whole thing coming together and the excitement out there and the construction and it's really, you know, an education. You just have to, from my standpoint, because people want to call in and ask me specifics about seating, and we've been doing the Kentucky Derby now for 12 to 15 years, so I know that racetrack pretty well and all the seating there, but the questions about Breeders' Cup, it's a whole different ballgame. It's all new.
Yeah, it's a different challenge. And I mentioned at the top of the show when I referenced that you'd be joining us here today that, you know, people are still trying to find a way to get to the Breeders' Cup. This is a unique event. It is a boutique venue being at Keeneland this year, a much smaller venue, as you just alluded to. But there are ways through DerbyBox.com that people can attend and they can have a great time.
Yes, we still have packages left. Our last hotel is the Doubletree downtown, which is we have 4-night stays that include not only tickets to both days of racing, but also horse farm tours. A lot of people, especially from out of town, want to experience the bluegrass and want to experience the true horse country and the breeding industry and see it firsthand. So we've included tours to some of the prominent horse farms in and around Lexington on Thursday. We have a welcome reception on Wednesday night when people check in. And the big thing that I think is going to be about our packages that make them unique is we've got direct transportation to and from the racetrack both days from our hotel. And as you know, being there in Lexington, Saturday and Friday in Lexington, it's going to be a traffic jam like no other. And then when you throw in the fact that Saturday night, there's the possibility, well, it's not a possibility, reality, University of Kentucky versus Tennessee football game, which and the way the Kentucky football team is playing, the excitement level there, I mean, it's going to be a big, big traffic jam. And so having these motor coaches to transport our people is a headache that will go away real quickly.
Well, maybe a helicopter might be a better maneuver. But yeah, it's going to be parking and all of that. It's going to be quite the zoo. So that does take the pressure off. You can read your past performances on the way to the track.
Right.
You might even slip a bottle of bourbon in your bag and have a little something on the way over. And what kind of packages do you have available, seating wise, location wise? What are we looking at?
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to do a little different than anybody else in the industry or as far as packaging. We want people, especially our fans, we pride ourselves as being a thoroughbred racing tour and travel company and really the only one in the world that specializes in this aspect of the industry and focuses primarily only on horse racing. So we want our people to be able to sit in the stands and actually view these races, and especially this year with the historic ramifications of a Triple Crown winner and a filly and the excitement level. We don't want people to just be in a walk-up area or in a parking lot area. We have actual reserved seats in the stands, and our packages include grandstand reserved seats, which is the traditional Keeneland seating, the clubhouse reserve seats, which is a unique aspect of Keeneland, the clubhouse up at the top of the stretch. Then we have the dining room aspects. We have the equestrian dining room, and, you know, it's pretty nice here in Kentucky right now, but October 30th and 31st, who knows? So having a dining room table inside is which not only allows you to have the comfort of a climate-controlled setting, but also you can step out and watch the races live right in front of your dining room, in the equestrian dining room. And then also they're putting in the box seats, the loge boxes, which are an extension of the actual box seats that traditionally are in Keeneland. And I had a chance to visit those as well, and that's going to be just a perfect sight lines to watch these horses come down the stretch and see them firsthand.
Of course, you can learn more about those packages by going to derbybox.com. And, Doug, when they're there, they can also check out the packages that you have set up for Kentucky Oaks and for Kentucky Derby next year. Never too early to start talking about the Derby.
Oh, yes. You know, I get asked all the time, what do I do after the Derby's over? Well, we immediately start working on the next year's Derby. We have people from all over the world that always have a bucket list item of wanting to attend the Kentucky Derby. And after they watch it on TV, they immediately go to their computers and start Googling in Kentucky Derby packages, and that's where we pop up, and people are able to find us. And we have our packages ready for the following year immediately after Derby, and we work with large groups. We work for people from out of country. We work with travel agencies, and we're putting together all-inclusive packages that include hotels, transportation, food and drink, the Derby parties, where to buy a hat, all those goodies that go with the pageantry of the Kentucky Derby. And it's a year-round thing. All our staff is right here in Louisville. We've attended, this will be my 34th consecutive Kentucky Derby. So we feel like we know what the thing's about, and we can answer any questions. And it's never too early to start planning for the Kentucky Derby.
No, absolutely not. Doug Dearen from DerbyBox.com. It is your home for those Derby and Oaks packages and, of course, all the Breeders' Cup packages he mentioned here as well. Doug, appreciate the time, appreciate all the support, and look forward to seeing you over here at Keeneland.
That's the deal. I'll be up there.
All right, keep it rolling.
Okay.
Doug Dearen with DerbyBox.com, and like all of our guests, we'll receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. See, you can still get to the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah.
And do it in style,
and
too, by the way.
Sounds like got some fantastic locations.
Yeah.
Better than our location.
Probably so. All right, we're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification, then we'll come back and get you set for hour number two. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The next big thing in horse racing radio is coming to HRRN, September 23rd. Express Bet Radio on HRRN. Get ready.
Millridge, raising and selling racehorses.
Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 33 Grade 1 winners, 7 Breeders' Cup champions, and 5 Horse of the Years, as well as Kentucky Derby winner Giacomo. Millridge will be offering 35 yearlings at the Keeneland September sale by 6 different stallions: Harlan's Holiday, Medaglia d'Oro, Spitestown, Distorted Humor, Giant's Causeway, and Quality Road. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses. I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents, and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit nicholsoninsurance.com. You gotta know Joe. For nearly 3 decades, the Edina Springs Breeding Program has achieved unparalleled success. With a record 8 Eclipse Awards as Outstanding Breeder and co-record 9 Sovereign Awards as Outstanding Breeder in Canada, that success has also been evident in their sales consignments, as Edina Springs sales graduates include Breeders' Cup and Eclipse champion Judy the Beauty and 8-time Grade 1 winner Game on Dude, as well as Private Zone.
Private Zone wins the Fargo.
Holy Boss.
Holy Boss and Ricardo Santana Jr. will win the Amsterdam by 2.
Gangster.
Gangster stole this one. He won it by 5.
And Kozan.
Kozan. Another outstanding performance.
Edina Springs has cataloged 15 yearlings to the 2015 Keeneland September sale by sires including Awesome Again, Ghost Sapper, Macho Uno, Hard Spun, Malibu Moon, and others. Edina Springs, classic bloodlines, classic performance.
Flattering B and Table 310 trying to run this one down. It's still Geeky Gorgeous outside Flattering B. Geeky Gorgeous wins the Pink Ribbon Stakes.
Join HRRN for our exclusive coverage of the Charlestown Race for the Ribbon. Live from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Today, beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information and to listen live. The Charlestown Race for the Ribbon. Only on HRRN.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The 37-year wait is over. American Foal is finally the one. American Foal has won the Triple Crown.
Bayern, Toast of New York, California Chrome. Bayern, Toast of New York. Bayern has won it.
Chicago's about to erupt. The Illinois Bird, the Pizza Man, just won the Arlington Million under Marlon Giroux.
As they come down to the 16th pole, it is Texas Red in front. Frosted runs at him. Texas Red, Frosted, a dramatic Jim Dandy, and Texas Red has won it.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number 2 of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, reunited with the pontiff of the Pick 4, Jude Feld, broadcasting from our Lexington, Kentucky studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass and broadcasting throughout North America on Sirius 220, actually Sirius 93, XM 93 this morning. During the week, we'll be on 220, 206. We are on affiliates across the country and streaming worldwide on your computer, your smartphone, or your tablet through our website, horseracingradio.net. That's right, Wednesday, Sirius 220 XM 206 with our Express Bet Radio on HRN debuts 3 o'clock Eastern this Wednesday. You can visit our website to learn more about that new programming. You'll be able to hear racing coverage from all over the country during the week. And boy, should be really, really exciting to launch that new show. We are super fired up about it here on the network.
Yeah, it's great. A lot of presence on the radio and certainly excellent coverage. Anthony Stabile up in New York anchoring that, and looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
If you did miss any portion of the show so far, you can go back to our website later this morning, horseracingradio.net, Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes, and get the podcast of this show and all of our talk shows. It's all there for you, horseracingradio.net. Brad Green is with Washington Hay Company. He is going to kick things off for us here in hour number two. Eric Zimney will be with us right around 9:30 Eastern from Charlestown to tell us about that Charlestown Oaks as we get ready to bring you that coverage tonight from 9 to 11 Eastern. And then Lafitte Pinkai III will take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup in our final segment at 9:46 Eastern Time as we discuss the Pennsylvania Derby and the Cotillion with Lafitte. So a lot of things yet to come. And as I mentioned, Brad Green is with us now from Washington Hay Company, just north of us in Georgetown, Kentucky. Brad, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Mike.
Happy
Thanks
to,
for having me.
Yeah, happy to have you on board and looking forward to the visit. And, you know, people will say something like, geez, what are you going to talk about? How are you going to talk about hay for 15 minutes here in this particular interview? But, you know, I had the opportunity to come out and visit with you and with your dad at your facility there in Georgetown. And I have to tell you, I was so impressed with the way that you have structured everything and the way that you have everything laid out and ready to go. And you're ready to cater to horsemen, both on the farms, at the racetracks, at the sales grounds, wherever it may be. And I tip my hat to you, my friend. It's a great operation.
Well, thank you very much. You're right. You think, how are we going to fill this time? But I think we filled about an hour and a half that day just talking hay and learning the background of what we do. We've really worked toward getting product on hand, getting our facility set up where we can load easy, make it easy on us, and make it quick to the customer. Our big thing is having on hand what they need when they need it, because you got to know on my end to understand horsemen. They don't think about, I need hay, until they look up in that loft and go, oh, man, I'm out of hay. And we get that call. And that's part of what we do. We answer that call.
Well, and you've been doing it for more than 25 years. And I mentioned meeting your dad. He was one of the brainchilds behind that business. And I think it goes back even further than that, doesn't it?
Well, we've been farmers all. I'm a family farmer. My dad was a farmer, my grandfather was a farmer, and they raised and sold hay for years, not in the way we do now, but because things were different then. And I was ingrained with that part of do it right, do what you do, and stand by what you say you're going to do. I've got that if I don't do that, I'll have to answer to him. Yeah, he's a pretty good guy to have around. He's a great guy to have around.
Yeah, a little check there. Your company indicates that the hay comes from Washington. Is it strictly Washington, or is there locally grown as well?
We do sell some locally grown. Of course, we've got 125 acres of alfalfa and alfalfa mix of our own. So much of that goes to the customers we have now with the farms we've got in place. We're going to expand some with this little dry weather we've had this fall. We're not able to put out any alfalfa for next year, or at least expand into more alfalfa. So we'll have to put that off till spring. But we have a good two-tie business. That's how we got going. We were selling the three-tie, and it was such a wonderful product. It was the one thing I knew when I opened the doors on a semi. I knew what I was going to get. And it's a joy to haul it up and down the road and take it into a barn.
Brad, it's funny. You mentioned two-tie, three-tie, and when I was out there, I really knew nothing about what went into this hay-making process, and I had never heard the term two-tie or three-tie, so I got a great education. So fill people in. What sets Washington Hay Company apart, and why is that three-tie hay so valuable?
Well, the three-tie hay, we can't grow hay like they grow in Washington or out west. And where this hay is grown, right at the edge of the Ellensburg Valley out there, at the upper tip of it, it's up close to the mountains. It's on the top side of the valley. They're in a low pH soil area there, and they have no alkali in their soil. That's our one little thing that we can kind of claim to hold on to. You're not going to get that. You're not going to go to other places in the country. You're not going to go to Nevada and get it. You're not going to go to other parts of Washington and get it. The air that comes over that mountain is dry, and it blows all the time. And they're able to cut that hay when it needs to be cut at the right stage and bale it in good order. And it makes such a soft, green, palatable hay. It's some of the best. It's not, I won't say it's the best. I'd love to, but there's lots of great hay out there that got other people sell, but we'll put it up against anybody else's hay.
I don't think a lot of people realize that it's not easy to get Washington hay, that the Japanese come in and buy hay for their horses and will buy entire farm supply of hay and take it away. So it's really a treat for horsemen and horses to have Washington hay.
That is very true. I didn't realize that myself. You think, well, if I want hay from Washington, I'll just get on the internet and I'll go, you know, find a guy in Washington and I'll call him up and I'll order some hay. No, you can't do that. And we couldn't do that before until we bought into this. And that you've got to have that grower out there that's willing to sell to you, because you've got large hay companies that do cargo after cargo of that Western hay that goes overseas. And we've got to compete with that. They want the best for their horses. And you know what? We want it right here, too, and we're blessed to have that right here.
Talking with Brad Green of Washington Hay Company in Georgetown, Kentucky, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jude, I'm going to let Brad respond to this question here in a minute, but I want to ask you your opinion, because you trained horses for 20 years out on the West Coast, okay? And a lot of what Brad does is getting hay to the trainers at the racetracks. Why is it so important? And I'm asking this as somebody who's completely naive, although not as naive as I was before I got to meet with Brad. But why is it so important to feed your horses top quality hay like this?
Well, it's their staple. It's the main thing that horses eat. And you want to have clean hay. You want to have hay that's not moldy. You don't want weeds. We had a situation in California where some Hall of Fame trainers ended up with some Jimson weed in their hay, and it created havoc. There were bad tests that came back, and it had nothing to do with skullduggery. It was just, you know, hay that was basically contaminated. So there's lots of reasons why you want the best hay for your horses, and of course the nutritional value as well. So when you can get good quality Washington hay, that's what you want, and you know, hopefully it's at a price that's reasonable enough so that you don't have to raise your price as a trainer, because a lot of people don't realize, they think they write their trainer a check and all that money just goes into the trainer's pocket so he can go out and have expensive dinners and drive a Cadillac. But there's a lot of bills to pay, and the feed man is a number one guy that you got to take care of.
So Brad, there's more to just cutting and baling hay. This is an awesome responsibility for you, considering everything that Jude just laid out.
Absolutely. When we walk in the barn, we're representing something, and that is that we stand behind what we're bringing, and we feel very confident from our past history that we're going to bring you a hay that your horse is not going to have a problem with. We've not had the first complaint about, you know, my horse doesn't eat your hay, or since switching to your hay, my horse just isn't doing it. There's so many things with a horse that just want to go wrong. And if you can put him on a hay that takes care of so many of those problems, and he's just, every day he eats it, it goes through his system, it keeps him flushing it, that's what people like. They like when they throw that in the stall, they put it in that hay net, they don't have to worry about that. And I love it because I'm so confident about what we sell. I don't have to worry about it. When you get some of the two-tie hay in, you know, this bale's going to be a little bit different than the next one. Well, this field was a little bit different than that field. And, well, there was a little variety difference in this. Well, with ours, what we get out of Washington, we don't have that problem. The consistency is phenomenal. And that's a really big part of a horse's diet, is consistency.
Yeah, it certainly is. And Brad Green knows that better than anybody. As you can tell, their products at Washington Hay Company are extremely high quality, and you're going to get that personal family service they've been giving you for more than 25 years. Brad, how can people get a hold of you if they want to go ahead and place an order?
Well, right now, just by phone, I'm pretty much available, it seems, 24/7. The phone number for me is 859-588-5480, or you can shoot us an email at washingtonhayco@hotmail.com.
All right, there you go, washingtonhayco@hotmail.com. at hotmail.com, the way to get a hold of Brad Green, Washington Hay Company. Brad, appreciate all your support of what we're doing here on the show. I know you've been a listener for a long time, and I mean that. Absolutely. It was a delight to meet you and your dad and to see that operation, and you're doing things the right way, and I want to wish you all the best and keep it rolling.
Will do. Thank you, my friend.
All right, Brad Green here on HRRN. You know, it's fascinating. I had no idea what went into that side of the business. I had never been around it. I didn't have a clue. I even asked him the question. I kind of felt like, you know, when you get people that come to the racetrack and they've never been there before and they ask you all the questions that you and I take for granted. And I always tell people there are no stupid questions. Just ask whatever it is, no matter how stupid it may seem on the surface. There are none of those kind of questions. And I asked him, we were standing in the barn, and I said, Brad, so what's the key to making good hay? And it was raining at the time. And he looked at me and said, well, none of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole expression, make hay while the sun shines.
Exactly.
The drier, the better.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, you want to cut it and bale it. And when you have a lot of wet conditions, it makes it really hard. And that's one of the things that makes the hay moldy. It gets wet. And if you bale it while it's wet, the mold grows in there like crazy. People don't realize how much heat is actually generated in those bales, and between the heat in the bales and the wetness and the darkness,
yeah,
hay can get moldy really quick.
Yeah. Well, they do a good job over there at Washington Hay Company, and my thanks to Brad for taking the time to join us. Eric Zimney coming up at right around 9:30 Eastern time. He is from, of course, the man at Charlestown. We're going to talk to him about the Charlestown Oaks and that race for the ribbon program coming up tonight. We'll have that coverage for you from 9 to 11 Eastern time, exclusively on our website, horseracingradio.net. And it is time now for your Blood Horse news update. And this look at the top headlines brought to you by BloodHorse.com. Laurel to host qualifiers for the Claiming Crown. You heard this in the first half of the program with Sal Sinatra from the Maryland Jockey Club. Well, they announced yesterday they will partner with Gulfstream Park and the Claiming Crown to hold 9 win-in-your-in races November 1st at Laurel Park. The 9 races will mirror the 9 Claiming Crown races to be run December 5th at Gulfstream on opening day of their 2015-2016 championship meet. And Baffert goes to $700,000 for an Uncle Mo colt. A bay colt by Uncle Mo brought a winning bid of $700,000 for trainer Bob Baffert, acting as agent, marking the top price of the day midway through the fourth session of the 2015 Keeneland September Yearling Sale yesterday. The colt, consigned by TaylorMade Sales Agency, is the first foal out of the Quiet American mare Kiss the Lady, a winner at 2 and stakes placed twice in her racing career. And that is your Blood Horse news update. For more industry news and headlines, just head on over to BloodHorse.com. JT, that Keeneland sale, as a matter of fact, I hosted a preview of the sale last Saturday here on this very same show, talked to a few different consigners, talked to Tom Thornberry, the associate director of sales, and that was a sale that was, a lot of people were going into it with some pretty good feelings. They thought they were optimistic. They thought it was going to be a good sale, and it's kind of panned out that way. When you look at what we've seen over the course of the first, four or five sessions here, 701 horses have been sold. The average is up 6.4%. The median of 200,000 is up 11.1% from what we saw a year ago.
Yeah, it's been outstanding. Really, lots of million-dollar horses, $2 million horse, lots of quality individuals going through the ring, and tough to buy horses. You read every day consigners as you go through the TDN or Blood Horse, and you see people saying, oh man, it's so hard to buy a horse. Baffert talked about that yesterday when he bought the Uncle Mo. He wasn't able to secure horses on the budget, if you want to call it that his clients have. So if Baffert can't buy any, you know, it's going to be tough for a lot of people.
Yeah, and people will wonder, as they're listening to this, if they're not familiar with that side of the business, and they'll wonder why we always put an emphasis on the sales and having a strong sale. Why is that so important for the sport of thoroughbred racing? And even though it's not pertaining directly to the racing product today in terms of having horses on the track running around in a circle, it is it is very much a part of this business, and it's where everything starts. And if you don't have a solid sales program in this industry, then you're in pretty big trouble.
Well, it's the Keeneland September sale has always been the barometer for the health of the business. And obviously right now our business is particularly healthy with American Pharoah and all that he has brought to the sport, and certainly fantastic participation around the world. It was interesting. I read a piece earlier this week that of the roughly $10 million horses sold, they were each purchased by different purchasers.
Yeah.
So that's a good deal too. It's not just one or two wealthy people coming in and picking out the cream of the crop and taking them home. Everybody's got a little piece of the action. So people are doing their homework. They're being good shoppers and paying attention. And as it is so hard to buy, or was so hard to buy in book one, that's going to drive the prices up for book two and in subsequent books. So it looks to be a pretty solid sale.
And we want to tip our cap to one of our longtime sponsors, Michael Hernan, and all the folks at Gainesway Farm, and their hard work has paid off very much so at this year's Keeneland September yearling sale. They've to date anyways, and it looks like they probably will end up with the sale topper at $2.1 million, a colt that is by their super stallion leading sire, Tappet. They had a tremendous day, including that colt on Wednesday, and want to congratulate them on everything they've accomplished and everything that their stallion, Tappet, has accomplished. I mean, this horse has just been unbelievable, and it's not just in the sales ring where he's like number one in the world with his runners in the sales ring. But I mean, you look at his runners on the racetrack, they just, it's turf, dirt, it doesn't matter. They just run.
Well, you know, a tap, it certainly is a big part of their success, but I'll tell you the other part of their success that I think a lot of people don't realize is the fact that Michael runs such a great sales company, and they are first class. They do an unbelievable job. And I really, even though he's a sponsor and he's a friend, I have always felt this way. Even when I didn't know Michael, I used to love to go to the consignment at Gainesway and look at horses, because I knew it was going to be handled professionally and quickly. And when you have this many horses to look at, it's really, really difficult to get the work done. If you're going to look at every horse in the sale, which is kind of the custom that my brother, my nephew, and I, we try to look at every horse. And if that's the case, then you don't have time to screw around. And, Gainesway has always been a first-class place to go look at a horse.
Yeah, and congratulations to them once again on that sale topper, a son of their leading sire, Tappet. Speaking of sponsors, I want to go ahead and mention this very quickly before we get to our commercial break, and Eric Zimney from Charlestown to talk about that Race for the Ribbon program coming up tonight. Jimmy John's has been a longtime supporter of this show, and they have been extremely busy this week from their Palomar location, which is located just about 6 or 7 minutes from Keeneland. They have been delivering sandwiches to all the barns, and they want to thank everybody who has supported them, because they've had another record week with everybody that's been ordering at their consignments. And we want to remind you that they're back throughout the end of the sale. So you can order from Jimmy John's, and not just at Keeneland either. When you head to Fasig Tipton for their sales, keep in mind you can order from Jimmy John's and they'll deliver right to your barn. The food is sensational, and they have had a tremendous week, and they want to thank everybody. Again, they're back out next week. You can call their Palomar store at 859-523-6999. That's 859-523-6999. It's the number for Jimmy John's and Palomar. Put it in your phone and call them for lunch. And who knows, you might even get Billy White Shoes, the owner, showing up out there. He was there all week long.
He needs to buy some.
Yeah, that's right. We got to give him the pony up.
Yeah,
they're going to support him. He needs to support
right.
them.
Needs to buy a horse.
Yeah, we'll work on that. And Billy and the entire Jimmy John's team, all the franchisees here in Lexington, are excited to announce that coming in December, right here in Lexington, they will launch the very first Uncle Matteo's pizza joint, New York style fast casual pizza. It comes in December. They're going to be on the corner of Euclid and Marquis right here in Lexington. Great craft beer. You get your pizza in like 4.5 minutes. You walk through a line, you pick out your toppings, they make it for you, they throw it in the oven, and in 4.5 minutes you have your pizza. unbelievable craft beers. It's going to be a really cool place. Uncle Matteo's Pizza Joint, the first of its kind here in Lexington.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. We'll have to be regulars down there for
sure. We'll have to check that out.
And they have gluten-free, so my wife, Michelle, will be very happy.
Do they have calorie-free pizza?
Diet pizza? Do they have diet craft beer? all right, we're going to get to a commercial break. We're going to come back and talk more racing with Eric Zimney from Charlestown. Don't forget Lafitte Pinkeye III on deck at 9:45 Eastern to talk about the Pennsylvania Derby and the Cotillion. It's all ahead on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, celebrating 10 years of award-winning coverage.
Celebrating 10 years of Eclipse award-winning coverage. Thank you for making HRRN your home for a decade of memories.
Aired Restud's Majestic Perfection continues to be one of the hottest young stallions in America. His first crop three-year-olds include Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and Ashland Stakes winner Lovely Maria, Graded Stakes winner Hebronville, and the lightning-fast multiple stakes winner Majestic Affair. The number one sire in his crop by 2015 Graded Stakes winners to starters, and average earnings per starter, Majestic Perfection also offers a higher return on investment in the yearling ring than any other stallion in his crop. Airdrie Studs, Majestic Perfection. Think about it.
And they're off to New York. The premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Ramsey Farms, Real Solution.
As they come down to the line, Real Solution is the winner.
A two-time Grade 1 winning millionaire, Real Solution joins his sire, top stallion Kitten's Joy, at Ramsey Farm.
Real Solution, the Apache, in a battle that's come down to a bomb.
Real Solution won both the Manhattan and Arlington Million. An earner of $1.3 million and a son of leading sire Kitten's Joy. Real Solution, standing for $12,500 at Ramsey Farm.
Don't miss one of the biggest days of the year, Saturday, September 26th, right here at Santa Anita Park. It's opening day of our 2015 autumn meet, and we'll have five Grade 1 Breeders' Cup prep stakes that will likely include two-time Eclipse champion mare Beholder going after her third consecutive win in the Grade 1 Zenyatta at a mile and a 16th. First post time for a blockbuster 11-race card on opening day is at 12:30, so make plans to join us early. Visit SantaAnita.com for details. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Millridge, raising and selling racehorses. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 33 Grade 1 winners, 7 Breeders' Cup champions, and 5 Horse of the Years, as well as Kentucky Derby winner Giacomo. Millridge will be offering 35 yearlings at the Keeneland September sale by 6 different stallions: Harlan's Holiday, Medaglia d'Oro, Spitestown, Distorted Humor, Giant's Causeway, Quality Road. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Into the final furlong, Sentiero Italia has opened up to lead by 3. As Blonde Me moves up on the inside of Miss Temple City and Tapestry, it is Sentiero Italia, a 5-win day for Joel Rosario.
Sentiero Italia recorded yet another Greatest Stakes victory with her win in the Grade 2 Sands Point at Belmont last weekend. The daughter of Darley stallion Medaglia d'Oro is one of 11 group or graded winners for her sire this year. And her win in the Grade 2 Sands Point makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley stallion Medaglia d'Oro is the sire of 20 stakes winners in 2015, more than any other sire in North America. Also the sire of recent Del Mar debutante winner Songbird, his 14th career worldwide Grade 1 winner. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is David Cohen.
This is Gary Siaka.
This is David Jacobson.
This is Gary Golo.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come to the quarter pole. Saracis is still on top now. The whip's out on Sweet Opportunity. Sweet Grass to the extreme outside. Saracis is still on top as they take the turn and swing for home. It's Saracis on top. Sweet Opportunity is still there too. Sweet Grass is next up and Pangburn down the center. They come down to the final furlong. Saracis is still on top, still being chased there by Sweet Opportunity. Sweet Grass and Pangburn is getting going on the grandstand side. Here's Pangburn trying to run down Saracis. The wire's coming very, very tight. Saracis or Pangburn in a close photo. Sweet Grass did come in third, and Sweet Opportunity was fourth.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, back with you on the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Reunited and enjoying our first show back together in quite some time, and happy to have the Pontiff back with me full-time here on the network, and happy to have you back with us here throughout HRRN Nation. To everybody listening throughout North America on Sirius XM Channel 93, and everybody tuning in worldwide through our website, horseracingradio.net. Don't forget, tonight you can tune into our website for exclusive coverage of the Charlestown Oaks. That Grade 3 event carrying a purse of $350,000 comes up from 9 to 11 Eastern Time. Anthony Stabile and Acacia Courtney will have that coverage for you. Should be a tremendous show, and it's a tremendous card highlighted by that Charlestown Oaks. Eric Zimney is with us now from Charlestown, and happy to have him on board with us here on HRN this morning. Eric, welcome to the show, bud.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, happy to have you back on board again, and looking forward to a very special night tonight at Charlestown.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Charlestown Oaks, a great race, like you said, Mike, a great card. We also have some great events on site to raise money for West Virginia's affiliate of the Susan G. Komen Foundation. So, you know, we have a lot going on here. I'm actually at the end of a 5K run that we inaugurated here this year, and we got about 160 runners, so great turnout. And, yeah, I apologize if you hear the announcements being made in the background. It's a little hard to hear.
You don't even sound out of breath.
I was going to run, Jude, but I told my dad, I said, I made a stop at Dairy Queen last night on the way home, and I didn't think I could pass the milkshake test. So I wanted to preserve the integrity of the 5K, first year of the event, so I decided to just watch, you know.
There you go. All right. Always on the up and up, Eric Zimney.
Absolutely.
Good man. Well, you're going to be watching some great racing action tonight, including that Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks. And, Eric, a field of six, but, boy, you have to be happy with the six that you got, because you end up with the Iowa Oaks winner, Saracis. We just heard that call in the rejoin clip a moment ago. You have Temperament Patty. You have White Clover. It's a solid field.
It is a solid field. And you know, part of the thing that makes these days great for us and helps raise the profile of our track, I mean, you look at the names in the program for that race. You've got Rapoli and Pletcher. You've got Calumet and Larry Jones. You've got, you know, Mike Stidham's in there. You know, Ingrid Mason's horse is the favorite. I mean, just to get these names in the program for us is a big deal. But you're right. I mean, there's only six horses in there. It's pretty balanced for the six. So, I mean, from top to bottom, Saracis is going to be the favorite. But if you look, you know, the longest price on the board might be Tautsy Rules at Mike Stidham's horse. And, you know, before she ran at Oak Lawn, didn't run well, took some time off. So, you know, you wonder if something happened there. And came back and may have not liked the Polly. I mean, in her last start as a two-year-old, she'd be a lovely Maria, so she's clearly got some ability. So, I mean, you're going to get horses ranging from 2-1 to, you know, 12-1 on the board, so it's going to be pretty compact.
Yeah, it's a very solid field. So you've got inside speed with Saracis on a bull ring. That looks pretty salty. But there's a filly in there that actually nobody's mentioned so far, Fusaichi Red, who comes out one of the toughest races at Saratoga. I thought the Prioress, Cavording, who's red hot right now, and Bar of Gold, those are two very nice fillies. And this filly, although she doesn't have a lot of speed, it looks like 7 furlongs is going to be right in her wheelhouse.
No, you're right about that, Jude. And, you know, I know people have mentioned that they might be concerned about the horse running back pretty quickly. Well, if you look, I mean, the one stakes win she's had in her career, she was running back on just 12 days rest. So you know she can handle it. She looks like she's getting better. She'll probably be a little closer than she is normally, but you're right. I mean, there's no cavorting in here. There's no heavy head like that she's going to have to go against. So on class, just based on her last race, I mean, her and Saracis seem to be like the class of the race. And White Clover to me. White Clover to me as a horse is very interesting in here, but I think Trousseau Chared's the most likely winner.
Well, post time for the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks is 10:25 Eastern tonight. Again, our coverage taking you all the way through that race here on the network, beginning at 9 o'clock Eastern time. And, Eric, the race preceding the Charlestown Oaks is the Wild and Wonderful. That's a $100,000 stake, 7 furlongs on the main track, and it's a field of 8 that includes our old friend Lucy's Bob Boy, 25-time winner. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. We love when the local horses participate in these nights and take on you know, horses who are more used to running an open company. And that race came up tough. You Rise Up supplemented to that race for $2,500, and the race came up tough enough where they're going to scratch out after supplementing. So, you know their thoughts on the field being a little salty. But Lucy's Bob Boy is, you know, it'll be interesting to see the pace scenario in there. He's probably going to be on the lead. But, you know, it's a little different when you're running restricted company versus now you've got, you know, Pants on Fire and, you know, Prater AO chasing you. It's going to be a little different and a little bit of a litmus test for the horse.
Well, and another $100,000 stake precedes that one with the Pink Ribbon as race number 9 at 9:20 Eastern time. That's a heck of a trifecta with those three races in succession. Tell me about that field.
Again, 6 horses in there, you know, a little weight numbers-wise. To me, the horse who's a horse 9-2 on the morning line, Flattering Bee, who seems to like this place a lot. You know, she's done her best running here. Her last start before she came back and won a handicap here was up at Saratoga. I mean, she's clearly outclassed running against Unbridled Forever and Stonetastic in the Shine again. So she's back in here with company that she fits with a lot better. I think she's going to be very tough in here, but there's a pair of horses on the outside and check up from Z-Neck up. And Julie's Jewelry, who are the 1-2 choices in the morning line. But I would take the horse with the experience over the track in that one.
You got any special wagers tonight?
We don't. We have a pick, the pick 4, that encompasses the last 4 races leading up to the Charlestown Oaks, including the Charlestown Oaks. You know, we have a handicap and then 3 stakes races. So that's really the you know, the prime wager we've been focusing on the card, but unfortunately no guaranteed wagers or pick 4s. I didn't feel like not hitting a guarantee and having to go panhandle on Route 340 tonight to make up the difference. On this day a couple of years ago, we actually tried that. We didn't hit the guarantee, so we thought we'd pack it up and just go with the standard wager menu.
Talking with Eric Zinme, the Vice President of Racing Operations at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Racetrack, one of our favorite stops throughout the year as we make an annual trip there for the Charlestown Classic. And Eric, you have to be just over the moon with the way that in recent years you've been able to attract some of the biggest names that we've seen in the sport of thoroughbred racing to Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. And again, a tip of the cap to you and to your entire team for putting those cards together.
No, thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. You're right. Our racing office, Charlie McIntosh, they've done an unbelievable job. I mean, I was looking back at some of the horses who have run here, and it's kind of you almost don't realize the string of horses who have come here. You have Big Drama, Game On Dude, Shared Belief, Acclamation, Tisway. You could go on and on. And you know, a race like this tonight, the Charlestown Oaks, you never know what these horses are going to go on and do afterwards. 2011, if you told me when, you know, Buff was unloading Groupie Doll in our barn area, that's going to be a future Hall of Fame horse, I would have told you, you're nuts. But these horses can go on and do anything. And, you know, the more they do, the more they raise the profile of Charlestown.
Hey, by the way, who's the favorite in that 5K road race? We didn't get down on that one.
That's what I said, that they should offer action on this race. And you know, there was a girl, she was probably early 20s. I mean, she must have won by about 90 seconds. I mean, she dusted the field. So she would have been short money. She'll be short money next year, maybe a minus pool.
Maybe we'll have to get Jen Durenberger out there for a little little run.
She'd be odds on.
Run at the dock.
I would bet her. Yeah.
More the merrier. Full field in the 5K is also welcome.
All right. Eric Zinme, Vice President of Racing Operations, Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Eric, thank you for all your support of what we're doing here on the show. We love being part of your races and helping you promote those, not just at Charlestown, but at, you know, Penn National and Zia Park and all the properties associated with Penn Gaming. So appreciate it, my friend. I will be in Heinz Field waving the terrible towel tomorrow. I know you and I will be there together on October 1st for that Thursday night showdown with the Ravens, and I'll look forward to seeing you there then.
Absolutely, Mike. America demands a win tomorrow against the Niners.
They absolutely do.
Sounded like Larry Colmus there for a minute.
Oh, brother. Don't bring up that name. Appreciate it, bud. Enjoy the night.
All right, guys. Thanks again for all the work.
All right. Eric Zimney. And, 9 to 11 Eastern time, our coverage of those races tonight. It figures to be a really good night of racing. As you heard Eric mention a couple of times, the field size is not huge. They would have liked more horses, but I think they got some of the right horses there. And a very contentious evening of racing at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Yeah, it eliminates maybe some trouble, too. It's nice, you know, when you're running in a short field, you don't have to worry as much about getting stuck behind a horse or whatever.
Makes the job easy for Alki and Henry, too, right?
Oh, yeah, Alki and Henry. That's our guys. They're the clockers up there at Charlestown, and they always treat us like kings when we're there. Anything we need, they take care of us.
Yeah, they're great. Absolutely. Our setup there is phenomenal. We're right up there in the press box
overlooking
the finish line.
Once you get in the press box, it's great. It's just negotiating to get in.
You're out of breath by the time you get there,
well,
right?
You got to go up a bunch of steps, but it's just that post that kind of stands guard before you get in.
Well, and trying to get down that little narrow stairway. I mean, I brush against the sides of the wall, right? Trying to sneak down there. So I can...
You can only imagine
what it's like for you, my friend.
It's a tough row, but we managed to do it okay. If there was a fire, it might be a little scary, but it's a great place. Very, very nice racetrack and impeccably taken care of.
Yeah.
The thing that I was so impressed about was how beautiful the barn area is and how everything at that racetrack is clean and neat and nice, and the casino's fun. People just have a great time at Charlestown.
You know what I've always liked about all of their properties? Even when you go to Penn National, those are the two that we've been on site for. When you walk through the casino, there are signs pointing you to the racetrack. And it's not like that at every racino, so to speak,
right?
They kind of hide the racetrack.
Right.
It was like Saratoga Harness. We walked through the casino to get out to the main track. We had no clue where the racetrack was. We were trying to find our way through the slot machines. There was no signage whatsoever. But at Penn and at Charlestown, they do a great job of keeping you in the loop as to where that racetrack is and directing you that in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, Penn, how nice was Penn, too? I mean, just beautiful. Same deal. Beautiful barn area, everything impeccably taken care of. And, of course, we got Force the Pass running today at Laurel.
Yep.
And he came out of the Penn Mile. Beautiful, beautiful horse, Force the Pass. And so they're doing a great job. And Eric's, of course, behind a lot of that. And hats off to him.
All right, almost time to take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup, presented by Gainsway. Lafitte Pinkai III will be with us for that segment to talk about the Pennsylvania Derby and the Cotillion, both of those races loaded, including Frosted going to the post in the Pennsylvania Derby. More than likely his prep race for the Breeders' Cup Classic. We'll see if he can get a showdown with Triple Crown winner American Pharoah right here at Keeneland October 31st. With that $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic. Of course, it gives us an opportunity to tell you that you can join us for all of the coverage during the Keeneland meet and throughout the Breeders' Cup. We're going to be on site at Keeneland Breeders' Cup week beginning on the Tuesday prior to Breeders' Cup. That's October 27th. We will have 4 Breeders' Cup countdown shows presented by your Lexington area Jimmy John's from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday morning. Those shows will feature interviews with the top jockeys, owners, trainers, handicappers, all to get you ready for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Then we come back on Friday and Saturday afternoon with all of the race coverage. You will hear every Breeders' Cup race exclusively with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The only place you'll hear them on radio is with us. You can tune in on SiriusXM satellite radio, on affiliates across the country, and as always, streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. All of that coverage Friday and Saturday afternoon presented by our friends at Cal Density. And Jude, we had listeners last year for our Breeders' Cup coverage in more than 60 countries. Would expect the same again this year, so want to invite everybody to tune in, and it should be a tremendous week.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. And of course, I'm always a big fan of the lead-in shows. I really enjoy doing them and love to hear the banter during the week and all the whispers, and the international players come in. We have interviews with a lot of them, so tremendous insights available on those shows. And if you can't listen to them live, you can always download them and listen to them later on your iPhone or iTunes or whatever. Just something you don't want to miss out. If you're going to bet serious money on the Breeders' Cup, those lead-in shows are very important to listen to.
All right, time to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup with Lafitte Pincai III right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Tollgate Hay Company in Georgetown, Kentucky is family-owned and operated and offers top-quality local and northern hay and straw. At Tollgate Hay Company, you'll find hay in both large and small squares with western hay available upon request. Are you in need of bagged shavings or the best in McCauley's feed? Tollgate Hay has you covered. So call today, 502-542-8343. That's 502-542-8343. Tollgate Hay Company.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. When the Lexus LS was introduced, it changed the industry. Decades of world's first and countless awards later, it's considered by many to be the finest vehicle in the world. So how do you improve upon the impossible standard you've set? Piece by methodical piece, scrutinize every aspect of the driving experience in search of new ways to surprise and inspire those inside. I'm Mike Penna, and I will tell you firsthand that you can say the same things about the people at the Lexus store of Lexington. The people truly do make the difference. From the Godfather Tony Attiano to their outstanding sales team, I promise that when you walk through their doors on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, you'll feel the same way. And if you're in the horse business, there's no reason to go anywhere else. The people at the Lexus store are horse people. They're actively involved with supporting the industry, and they want to be the dealership of the equine industry. So stop in and see them and find out for yourself what it means to be a part of the pursuit of perfection at the Lexus store of Lexington.
Hi, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, inviting you to join me for Express Bet Radio on HRRN. Beginning Wednesday, September 23rd, tune in for live racing action from around the country every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. It's the place to be on your drive home, through the final furlong of your workday, and for all fans of the sport of kings. It's Express Bet Radio on HRRN, starting Wednesday, September 23rd, on Sirius 220, XM 206, and streaming worldwide at Horse Racing Radio.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
El Kabir with his work cut out for him. He's six lengths off the lead with a long shot to catch as the New York bred 10 Sendor turns for home in front in the Wood Memorial. And Frosted runs at him on the outside. These two into the final furlong. 10 Sendor running the race of his life. Frosted draws even. Frosted. 10 Sendor fights on, but Frosted's got it. And he's pulling away. And Frosted has won the Wood Memorial. Sendor was second, El Kabir was third, and Daredevil was fourth.
Larry Colmus with the call of the Wooden Memorial earlier this spring. Frosted getting the victory that day. He's yet to win since that race, but he's back in action this afternoon in the Pennsylvania Derby. Some people thinking that maybe it was Frosted who cost American Pharoah his opportunity to add to his streak and his legacy in the Traverse Stakes as he went out and pressed him on the lead. Jude, he was vilified after that race, but a lot of people thinking that was the case. But hey, American Pharoah still ran extremely well.
Well, it's a horse race, you know.
That's right.
So you got to try to win however you have to try to win. But, you know, a lot of times when horses do that, they don't come back as fit and fresh as you might think. They might be a little tired from trying to run American Pharoah into the ground.
So maybe a bit suspect in today's field?
I'm thinking maybe.
Well, Lafitte Pinkai III, typically with NBC, is with us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He is on site at Parks working with Comcast Sportsnet. And Lafitte, really appreciate you taking a little time to talk about these races this afternoon.
Absolutely. Mike and Jude, how are you guys?
Great.
Yeah, doing well. Always a joy to have you with us, my friend, and looking forward to those great races this afternoon. Not just the Grade $2 Million Pennsylvania Derby, but also that Grade $1 $1 Million Cotillion, which will precede the Pennsylvania Derby. That's a field of 12, 11 betting interests, and a rock-solid group going a mile and a 16th.
It's an exciting day of racing, guys, and I think that they're prestigious races in their own right, the Penn Derby and Cotillion, but the relevance it's had for a springboard towards the Breeders' Cup the last couple of years, these races have served as perfect preps, going back to Close Hatches, who wins here, and then she runs second in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. Untappable wins the Cotillion. She wins the Breeders' Cup Distaff. We just saw Willis Horton downstairs. They have Take Charge Brandy going today. Will Take Charge wins the Pennsylvania Derby, just misses in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and of course, Byron last year. So while the races as individual events, everybody's excited about, but it's what it means. It feels like the start of the final round of preps towards the Breeders' Cup.
Well, it's amazing, Lafitte, because you mentioned those names, and as I was doing some homework for these races, I went back even further, and you look at that Pennsylvania Derby, and you see winners like Macho Uno and Summer Squall and Broad Brush, and then on the Cotillion side, A Shadow and Jostle and Susan's Girl and Shuvie. So these have been races that have been prominent in our sport for a very long time.
Absolutely. It's not going to be mistaken for the Beldame at Belmont Park, or even what was the Lady's Secret or now the Zenyatta at Santa Anita. Not at first glance, but like you said, when you go back through the history books and you see the names that have won these races and how productive these races have been over the years on a championship stage, it's relevant. And these are good three-year-old fillies we're going to see in this Grade One Cotillion now. I was a little surprised the Pennsylvania Derby didn't get the Grade One billing after last year with Chrome showing up and then Byron, of course, winning the Breeders' Cup Classic. But there's you're seeing fillies exiting the Alabama. Embellish the Lace is not going to have that soft, easy, early trip that she got in the Alabama. There's a lot of speed. There is a key scratch. Desert Valley is out, which I think softens up the pace for Embellish the Lace. And I think that I'm a chatterbox that's going to be sitting in the catbird seat to finally not only cross the wire in front of a Grade One event, but get a chance to actually keep that Grade One win after she was DQ'd in the CCA Oaks.
Yeah, that was, controversial, but I think it was the right decision. But I'm a chatterbox. Looks like she's just going to be in the cherry spot, sitting right behind the speed. And Florent Giroux, is there any hotter jockey in the nation than Florent Giroux?
Man, has he come around. And Caden Bradar's on the show with us, and Doug, obviously, Florent's agent. All she said was that Flo's very confident regarding I'm a chatterbox. I think he's expecting a big performance from her today. And, yeah, again, the absence of Desert Valley hurts a little bit in terms of the pressure which Embellish the Lace, who is kind of an all-or-nothing type. She's feast or famine. Either she parks or you can't find her. We'll see how much pressure she does face today on paper. It looks like she's going to face some. But, yeah, I'm a chatterbox with Larry Jones. And I'm surprised with all the great mares that Jones has had over the years, this would be a first Cotillion win for him.
Wow. That is shocking. You wouldn't expect that. But,
right?
Of course, this race is elusive in its own right, and we'll see which of these fillies can get the top prize this afternoon. Again, that scratch of number 2, Desert Valley, as Lafitte just alluded to. So we're down to a field of 11. Those 10 betting interests should be a good one coming up at 4:50 Eastern Time. It will be followed by the Grade 2 Pennsylvania Derby, field of 10, including Frosted, who, as I mentioned, Lafitte, in some people's eyes, was vilified after running American Pharoah, well, I won't say into the ground, but kind of pressuring him early in the Travers. A lot of people thought it took some starch out of his stretch run, and Frosted back in action this afternoon.
And Frosted shouldn't be vilified. Jose Lascano should be vilified. I said, look, but you know what, guys? Nobody said they have to roll out the red carpet for the Triple Crown winner. Nobody's going to hand you the Travers. And I think that it is interesting in the comments following the Travers that wasn't necessarily the game plan. And that's part of the mystique of Saratoga and the weird things that seem to happen there that lead to this graveyard of favorite type of stigma, a completely different race shape as a result of something that happens an hour before the race with Joel Rosario going down. Lascano, a little more aggressive, and he saw American Pharoah was going to be on an easier lead, so he turned up the heat on him. There's nothing wrong with it. It may be looked down upon, and in the end, I'm convinced that if Frosted was ridden the way Kieran McLaughlin intended Joel Rosario to ride him, I'm not saying American Pharoah wins. What I am convinced of is that American Pharoah and Frosted run 1-2. I'm not saying which order. I'm convinced they run 1-2. They did a huge favor for Donegal Racing and for Keen Ice, who, by the way, is really coming along in a great article I read about Dale Romans and describing how he's matured and how he's turned the corner and how good of a racehorse he has turned out to be. He deserves all the credit in the world. And a chilly, chilly ride from Javier Castellano taking advantage of that speed duel, running those two horses down in the Travers. I just wonder what the race would have looked like had Rosario not gone down in the forego an hour prior.
Yeah, that's one of the things that makes our game so interesting is little nuances, subtle things like that really can change the results of a race. And you don't think about it at the time, you know, when you're just write the new jockey's name down on your past performances and go on with it. But you and I know that sometimes the jockeys make a huge difference in the outcome. And your father, he was the only jockey I ever saw that could actually make a horse win that didn't want to win. He's the only one. And you know how many races I've seen in my lifetime. A lot. So, I mean, you know, it's an amazing thing sometimes the way riders have an influence on races.
Thanks, Jude. That means a lot. And Rosario, Joel's the only rider that I've watched since. And this, but you know, following and covering the races the last several years, he's the one guy that reminds me of my old man as far as just brute strength and the ability to carry a horse over the wire. We've seen that time and time again with Rosario. And it's interesting that, you know, the last time we had a Triple Crown winner running in the Travers, you know, Pilot Strategy played a huge role in the outcome, where my father wound up getting disqualified for interfering with Aladar on Affirmed. And here you are 37 years later, and you didn't have anything as significant as a disqualification. And clearly what Lascano did with Frosted was not anywhere near as abrasive of what my father did with Affirmed, not knowing that Aladar was in that pocket. But still, you had a situation that, you know, that Lascano sort of playing the role of an enforcer and changing the outcome of a race. And, you know, the pressure was turned off on American Pharoah at first. When you looked at the clock, it didn't look like they were going that fast. But when you consider that middle half mile at 46-3, I believe it was, both Frosted and American Pharoah, I wouldn't have been surprised if they had run last and second to last, considering how fast that middle half mile was. I don't think people realize how well American Pharoah and Frosted really did run.
Visiting with Lafitte Pinkai III here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Lafitte, only about 30 seconds left, but go ahead and give me your top pick to win the Pennsylvania Derby.
Made from Lucky. He's a specialist at 9 furlongs, 3-for-3 on the year. This is a stretch, but 3-for-3 on the year when he doesn't have to face American Pharoah, and I really like his West Virginia Derby win. Lost a lot of ground, slow pace, came from off the pace, and expecting to see more of the same today.
All right, there you have it. Lafitte Pinkai III. You can follow him on NBC's television coverage and on Comcast SportsNet this afternoon for that Pennsylvania Derby and the Grade 1 Cotillion. Lafitte, as always, appreciate the time, my friend. Enjoy the afternoon.
Mike and Jude, always a pleasure, guys. Take care.
All right, Lafitte Pinkai here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll get to a quick word from Gainsway, and we're back to wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum.
power.
It is Texas Red, just outclassing them. Look at this for an easy one in the Breeders' Cup.
Passion.
And Materiality is undefeated. He has won the Florida Derby.
Performance.
At Charleroi in a driving finish. Charleroi to win the Oaks.
Gainesway Stallion of Fleet Alex has produced 7 Grade 1 winners, 4 in the past 10 months, including Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Jim Dandy winner Texas Red, Florida Derby hero Materiality, and Del Mar Oaks winner Charleroi. Other top runners by a Fleet Alex include Grade 1 Travers winner of Fleet Express, Grade 2 Delaware Oaks winner Dancing a Fleet, and Harissa, winner of the Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie. Eclipse champion of Fleet Alex won the Preakness and Belmont by a combined 11 and 3/4 lengths. A Fleet Alex standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
All right, wrapping up a very busy show here this morning on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Equine Forum. I want to thank Sal Sinatra for joining us in the first half of the program, Doug Deeren from DerbyBox.com, Brad Green from Washington Hay Company, Eric Zimney from Charlestown, and you just heard Lafitte Pinkai here just a couple of moments ago. If you missed any portion of the show, go back to our website, horseracingradio.net. The podcast will be available at your leisure. Make sure you listen to this show and all of our shows, including Express Bet Radio on HRRN, which debuts this coming Wednesday, 3 o'clock Eastern, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sirius 220, XM 206. Been fun.
It's been a pleasure.
For our producer, Lee Delapina, for the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, for my beautiful wife, Michelle, on our social media, I'm Mike Penna, and because nothing good comes of deviation, hey, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.